All right, if you would please open in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, which will be our text for this morning, and we will be praying for you, Rob. It is a dog-eat-dog world, and that sounds pretty rough, and all sorts of puns coming to my mind. This morning, what we get to do is to honor mothers, which is not always easy and comfortable for many. For some of you, this may be the first Mother's Day for which your mother is not here with you. This could bring back memories of a long time ago and things that have broken your heart. And so as we address the issue of Mother's Day, the importance of Mother's Day, I just want those of you maybe for whom today could be a painful day to know that we're aware of that as well, and I'm praying for you and aware of that. We're living in very strange times, with circumstances that nobody really saw coming. And it's especially important on a day like Mother's Day, and especially this Mother's Day, to remember and to appreciate the women in our lives and to seek to understand what they deal with. Mothers deal with things that fathers either don't deal with or we deal with to a lesser degree. I think there's much greater expectations on the parts of mothers. There is much more desire to live a certain way and to appear a certain way if you are a mother than if you were a father. And many of us probably have this picture in our brain, that we think that it's everything in family life should just go splendidly, that the children will be playing together nicely or maybe helping dad barbecue a hot dog while mom dutifully trims the trees and everybody's just getting along really, really well. Maybe that's your experience of motherhood and of parenting, but I doubt it. I doubt it. In fact, most of all, I think that many of us at least would experience something more like this, where you're sitting in the living room and maybe months ago you were thinking to yourself, how great would it be if we could just have the kids home all the time and to experience the blessedness that it is to have these little ones around. Well, now after a couple of months of being stuck at home, many of you are probably in the middle of two kids screaming at each other, and you're probably getting pretty discouraged. That's why it's important for us to remember the importance of a godly heritage. A godly heritage. Now, I wanted to share some of these with you. These are real life experiences that people have shared with me over the last week about their experience of quarantine life as moms. One mother told me this, that her loving little boy turned to her and said, "I have been with you for 40 days and 40 nights." Wow. Thank you, Junior. That's what every mother longs to hear, isn't it? One mom went to the grocery store shopping with her daughter, and as she reached for something she wanted, her daughter says, "Mom, do you really need that?" Well, bless your heart. Aren't you helpful? One mom told me that her children did the unthinkable. They cleaned their rooms. They got so bored that they cleaned their rooms. And they found office supplies, school supplies, to the extent that they could rival Office Depot when everything opens up again. Another mother introduced her youngest to the greatness that is Star Wars. And after watching the original trilogy, which, by the way, is the best trilogy, the little girl said this, "After Darth Vader takes his mask off, he's just a puny old man with a scratched up face." True. Very true. And finally, when one father was told that his daughter's diaper needed to be changed, he offered to change it for her, only to be told by his adorable little girl, "No, mommy change. Really tricky." I guess that was a job that only mom could handle. I think I speak for all fathers everywhere when I go, "Yes, it's the one job we wish and hope that mom would always handle." What virtually every Christian mother, though, really wants is to instill within her children a godly heritage. And this morning we'll look at how one such heritage became an incredible encouragement to the Apostle Paul and to everyone who has read the Bible. So first of all, let's look at the results of a godly heritage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Paul says this, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did. As I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, that I may be filled with joy. What an applicable text for us this morning. Paul is expressing to Timothy, his protege, his friend, his disciple, and he's saying that the very first response he has in his heart when he thinks about Timothy is to thank God. To thank God. Notice that Paul is thankful to God for Timothy's godly heritage. If you would, look with me at verse 5 quickly, and we'll come back to this. In verse 5 it says this, "For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Friends, notice that what Paul is praising God for is the sincere faith that Timothy shows, and that this sincere faith was the result of a godly heritage handed down from grandma to mom to Timothy. Now, it's really important to notice that Eunice was Jewish, but apparently her father was not very orthodox. Why do I say this? Because her father allowed her to marry a Gentile. And so Eunice, who is Timothy's mom, was married to a Gentile. We know this from Acts chapter 16. But Eunice was still very devout. Paul praised her for her genuine faith, which she shared in common with Lois, her mother. Eunice imparted that faith to her son, etc., etc., and etc. But notice, Paul is thankful to God for Timothy's godly heritage. Many mothers, being ignored, look forward to Mother's Day as a day when they finally get their accolades. I get it. And what does every child say every Mother's Day? They go, "Well, when's it going to be Kids' Day?" Right? And how do moms respond? Every day is Kids' Day. But today is Mother's Day. May I suggest to you that there is one thing better than getting the accolades you deserve? Because you do deserve them. There's one thing better than getting the appreciation that you deserve. And you do deserve it. That one thing that's better than that is for people to look up to the sky and praise God because of what you are. To praise God because of who you are and what you have instilled in your children. That'll take time. That'll be the end result of years of discouragement and many, many frustrating days. As someone has said, the years are short, but the days are long. And Paul says this, "I praise God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did." Paul says this, "I am the result of a godly heritage. And I serve God with a clear conscience because of the framework they have handed down to me." And he says this, "I do so as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day." The greatest blessing to a godly mother is a godly offspring. And Paul is saying this, Timothy, you're fantastic, so your mom had to be super fantastic. And he says, you're fantastic because your grandma had to be extra super fantastic. Paul serves God because of his own godly heritage. But Paul also rejoices in Timothy's godly heritage. It brings joy to his heart to see that Timothy's faith is not a fluke. That Timothy's faithfulness is not by accident. It's a heritage, a legacy handed down to him. And notice that he expresses these joyful thoughts in constant prayer and in a longing to see Timothy. I mean, can't we relate to him now? Are there not people that you wish you were with right now but can't be? He says, every time you come into my mind, I recall your tears so that I might be filled with joy. The results of a godly heritage are gratefulness, sincerity, prayer, and joy. All of this, as we noticed a second ago, is based on the heritage that Timothy had. 2 Timothy 1:5, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." What a rare blessing it is to be able to trace spiritual lineage for generations. Some of us really wish we can do that. Some of us are preparing that for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And some have it already. It's awesome. And it's wonderful. It took a whole committee of people to fill the role of mother for me. I had a wonderful stepmother. I had aunts who took care of me. I had grandparents. I had a very excellent grandmother. And I praise God for that. Not that they handed down everything that I am spiritually, but that their love and their care that they did show for me kept me alive. So how then should we respond to a godly heritage? What should be our response to this legacy? Well, Paul gives us a few responses that I'd like to focus on this morning. These responses we will find in verses 7 through 14, or 6 through 14 in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And here is therefore the first response that he calls Timothy to. Response number 1, kindle afresh your giftedness. Paul says this, your grandmother did not follow God in order to hand down a legacy for you to neglect, a legacy for you to ignore. Instead, kindle afresh what God has gifted you to be and to do. Go forward. Bring the legacy and the heritage forward, Paul tells Timothy. Honor your grandmother, honor your mother, honor your forefathers, and go forward. What this means is that Timothy is to realize and reemphasize the gift that was sovereignly bestowed upon him from God. Notice what we find here in the text. He says, for this reason. What reason? Well, your godly heritage in verse 5. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He says this, remember, you, Timothy, are called to preach. You are called to pastor. You're called to minister. You're called to evangelize. Do it to the honor of your grandmother. to the rejoicing of your mother, to the glory of God. Notice that Paul reminds Timothy that this giftedness was given to you when I laid hands on you and prayed for you. Now, I know there's probably a lot of moms out there who really want to lay hands on their kids right now. That's not what it means. What it means is that he put his hands on Timothy and ordained him and said, "Now go. Do it. To the glory of Grandma, to the glory of Mom, but to the glory of God most of all." What is this calling us to? It's calling us to give fresh energy to the discovery and rediscovery of what our contribution is to be to a godly heritage. What is it that we are called to contribute to make our families, to make this church, to make this community better than what it is? Closer to the Lord than where it stands. Do your best. Not to be something that you're not, but to be what God has called you and equipped you to be. Why? Well, verse 7 tells us why. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. In this context, what this verse means is this: don't be afraid of your calling. Don't be afraid of your gospel giftedness. Whether it's preaching, praying, serving, leading, whatever. Be diligent with these things, and you will create a legacy, a heritage for your families in the next generations. Response number one, then, is kindle afresh your giftedness. Response number two is this: remove gospel shame from your heart. Christians, do you want to honor your Christian grandmother? Do you want to bring joy to the heart of your Christian mother? Here's how you do it. Be unashamed of the gospel of Christ. And she will see that. She will be blessed by that. God will be glorified by that. And you'll make all of her dreams come true. Mom may want you to be successful. Mom may want you to be rich. Mom may want you to be happy, but her highest hope for you is that you would know and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So honor her today, and going forward, remove any gospel shame from your heart. What do I mean by gospel shame? I mean simply being ashamed of the gospel. Being timid or weak or afraid about sharing the things of the gospel. In verse 8 we find this: therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Notice what Paul says here. Don't be ashamed of the testimony or the testifier. Now why would he say that to Timothy? He said that because it's possible. Even Timothy, for whom two books of the Bible were written, had a tendency to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and ashamed of Paul, his prisoner. So Paul says, don't let gospel shame, that is being ashamed of the gospel, don't let that into your heart. Instead, we should be extremely enamored with the message of the gospel. Like Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and don't be ashamed of those who testify for the Lord. pray for them, love them, support them. So what is this calling us to do? To live and to think in a gospel-centered way, without reservation and without hesitation. To honor the gospel, to live for the gospel, to proclaim the gospel, to believe the gospel. And if there's any Christian mother out there who would say, no, we don't want our kids to love the gospel, it would make you wonder if they even know the gospel. I can't imagine that to be the case. I think every Christian mother wants their child to love the gospel. Remove that gospel shame that may linger. We're going to skip a few verses and look at verse 12, where Paul says this. In verse 12, he says, for this reason, what reason? Verse 11, where he says, I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason, verse 12, I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I entrusted to him until that day. Paul is not ashamed that he was called to be an apostle, that he was called to be a preacher, a missionary, a teacher. So don't allow any gospel shame to linger in your heart. The third response that this passage calls us to is to retain the words of sound doctrine. In verse 13 it says this, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. What he's saying is because of your godly heritage, Timothy, we are not satisfied if you simply go to church. We want you to seek something. We want you to know something. And we want you to guard something. We want you to retain sound doctrine. We don't simply want you to go to church. We want you to make an impact for the truth and orthodoxy of the Bible and its doctrine. This is the kind of verse that pastors really love. Because it's a command in the Bible to be theologically minded. To know what is right and what is wrong. What must be upheld and what must be corrected. A godly heritage involves godly orthodoxy. A commitment to the truth. And this means that a godly heritage leads us to something definable, something explainable. There is doctrinal content to what we're trying to pass on to future generations. I mean, sometimes we hear people say this, well, at least they go to church. At least they go to church. How often do we hear that? And I understand that if your children are walking with the Lord, that brings you more joy than anything else. And if their lives are a mess, but still they still go to church, that's something you can cling to for some encouragement. I get that. But we want so much more for our children, don't we? We want them not simply to go to church, but to retain the standard of sound doctrine, which you've heard from pastors and teachers, Sunday school teachers, Awana leaders. Retain the standard so they have something to pass on to their kids. And that leads us to the fourth response in this text. Guard this treasure. Guard this treasure. Notice in verse 14, we find this. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. What is that treasure? Well, friends, that treasure is the gospel. It is the standard of sound words. It is the reason why we are not ashamed in verses 8 through 12. It is what Timothy was gifted and empowered to share in verses 6 through 7. It is the gospel. It is the treasure that we have been entrusted with. Do you want to honor your mom? Guard this treasure. Guard it. Moms, how many times have your kids come to you and said this? I can't find my gloves. Or I can't find my shoes. Or I can't find whatever. And in your heart, you're thinking, just take care of your stuff. Guard it. Be responsible. Well, our passage ends with that. That the sad reality is that many churches and many people, in their pursuit of other things, have lost the gospel. And if we want to honor a godly heritage, if we want to be faithful to the Word of God, we must not lose this. That we're sinners. This past week, I was given a picture that one of the children in our church drew of me. And I appreciated it because there was a lot of hair on my head, which I appreciated. I also really appreciated that I was very svelte and thin. But there was this little bubble coming out of my mouth, and in the bubble it said this: "You are a big ball of sin." And if that's what I'm remembered for, I'll take that. We're sinners. We're sinners. But there is a remedy for our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the world as a real human being, lived a real human life, died a real human death, rose from the real grave and ascended into the real heaven. Guard this. Honor your mom by guarding this. Honor the heritage and legacy of biblical Christianity by dying on this hill. Because the Bible says that anyone who calls to God to be saved from their sinfulness will be heard, will be answered, will be saved. We must guard this treasure. Or else, as parents, as pastors, as church leaders, as Christians, in our desire to see the next generation be happy, healthy, wealthy, we may do that at the expense of their souls, at the expense of our own. Guard this gospel. A mother who loved the Lord created a godly heritage. A mother who loved the Lord created a godly heritage. And this godly heritage produced another mother who loved the Lord, who produced the godly heritage, whose godly heritage produced a son who loved the Lord despite having a Gentile father, despite not being completely brought up in the ways of the Bible. A son who loved the Lord and has two books of the Bible named after him. And this son was commissioned to bring glory to God and secondarily, glory to mom and grandma by his commitment to this treasure. Imagine what it would be like to be able to say this, Psalm 22:10, "Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb." There are some of you for whom a time without God is not part of your memory or experience. Some of you had the Bible read to you, had hymns sung to you before you could even speak. It's amazing. What a godly heritage. Friends, let us rise to a standard that will bring this forward for future generations. Happy Mother's Day, and may you leave a legacy and establish a heritage that will cause all future generations to live to the praise of His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, some of us lament what we did not have on Mother's Day. I pray for those that you would remind them that life only goes in one direction. And maybe what they did not have, they may be for future generations. That what was lacking in their childhood may be used of you to provide a better childhood for their children and grandchildren. Lord, I acknowledge that some of us lament what we've lost today. Maybe there are some in our midst who had a great relationship with their mom, and their mom is no longer here. And so today may bring a tinge of bitter sadness. Lord, would you please comfort them? Would you please remind them that life only goes in one direction? And that there is honor in our tears when we lament the loss of someone who means so much to us. So help us to be that for our kids and grandkids and etc. Lord, I realize that there are some who may be hearing today who still have mom, who still love mom, but can't be with mom. I pray that you would remind them that life is a vapor, that soon all of this will be over, that we'll all be able to be together again, whether in this world, if they're Christians, or the next. Lord, most of all this morning, though, I pray for those who may be hearing this, who do not know you as Lord and Savior. Maybe they're sitting with their mom, watching this in order to placate her, to make her happy. Maybe, just maybe, today is the day you have ordained to give them life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would convince them of their sinfulness, not to break their heart only, but to save their lives. And that they would, by your sovereign Holy Spirit, that they would cry out to you and ask to be saved, to live. That they would recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself was concerned for the welfare of his mother as he hung on the cross, that he himself took the burden of our sins. And Lord, I ask that if it would be your will, that you would use this humble attempt of preaching your word to regenerate someone's heart and grant them life. Lord, thank you so much for the mothers in our church whose godly heritage will be a blessing for future generations. I especially pray for those who are struggling right now. It's harder. This has been a challenge. And maybe some of them feel judged by the ones that just seem to have it all together. Lord, I pray that they would cast all those things at your feet and live for your glory and parent to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.